He will present himself for waiting.
What do you want me to do?
Presentation.
Presentation. Hello, my name is Now. I'm a humanoid robot, imagined and manufactured by Aldebaran Robotics. I come with a software and I'm fully programmable. I'm autonomous, and I can connect to the internet through Wi-Fi. I can recognize your face, answer your questions, play music, grab objects, and even play soccer like a pro. I've more than 2,000 brothers and sisters in use all around the world, in universities and research laboratory. Do you want more technical details?
Yes.
Counting every articulation in my body, I have 25 degrees of freedom. The sonar is located on my torso, allow me to detect obstacles that I might encounter. My two cameras give me an enlarged field of vision. Thanks to them, I can look right in front of me. Or at my feet, you know, to avoid walking where I should not. The four microphones around my head allow me to detect the origin of sounds nearby. Oh, well, I think about it. There are four force-sensitive resistors under each of my feet. Combined with my inertial sensor, they help me keep my balance. I can use some LEDs to express various emotions and interact with you. And you, on the other hand, can use my tactile sensors on the head, for example, to pass me some information. Well, I guess that's enough for the moment. Thank you for listening to me.
Okay.
What do you want me to do?
Sit down.
Sit down.
So would anybody know how to put it in full screen? No?
Well, anyway, I guess that's enough.
So, yeah. So, sorry for the delay. We.
Do you want something?
Go to rest.
Go to rest? I am going to rest. Just pat my head when you want to wake me up.
Okay, so let's start. Sorry for the delay. We've been having some problems with MacBook, as usual. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Now. I guess some of you have already seen it. We were in a booth in the open source area. And also about Linux and open source and how we are using it and how we would like to use it because, well, you'll see. So this is Now. I guess you have seen it in our booth, dancing, doing cool stuff. This is a robot we started in 2005, and it was, and it still is, a kind of prototype. I guess you haven't seen lots of robots like him. It's normal because we don't really have competitors. Maybe Honda, but they have a huge robot and only one, and it's more a research project. We want robots to be fun, to be usable by anybody, and that's what we are trying to achieve. So we are a startup in Paris. We are 7 years old. And we wanted to have robots at home, like in the movie iRobot, cooking and doing cool stuff for you. And that was the dream from our CEO. And he just put a lot of energy in this dream to be able, ready to see robots like we have seen in movies for the last maybe 30 years. And now we have... We sell robots around the world, so we have a few offices in Boston and Shanghai, but we are doing almost everything in France. So we command a few pieces outside, like models, also the pieces like all the white pieces you can see. But we are assembling everything in Paris. We are doing the electronics, we are doing the software. So this is really a product we developed internally. But we still have a few proprietary things inside, like speech recognition, face recognition, because it's a world topic in itself and we don't want to do too many things. So now, it's really a cool toy, although it's not really a toy per se. With 25 degrees of freedom, you can move pretty much everything. So the head, the arms, the legs. What else? We have lots of sensors. We have four microphones here, here, there, there. We have ultrasound here, infrared in the eyes. We have a few mechanical sensors like bumpers. I don't think you see them, but they're here. We also have, of course, heat and position sensors in all the models for a loop feedback. We also have speakers here in the ears, which is pretty funny because when people are talking to the robot, they're talking to the ears, but they are speakers. So it doesn't really work. What else? I guess that's it. But with all that, you can really do a lot of things. Also, we have an inertial sensor inside. So when the robot falls, and I'm sure you've seen this, he would detect it, say, ouch, and get up. And that's really fun. And we also have like this on the head to have an interface. Because what's really hard with now is that you don't really have an interface. You don't have a screen where you can click, a menu, and everything. You're basically alone with a piece of hardware. And somehow you have to interact with him, which is really a big problem for us because we want him to do many things, but we have a few only entry points. So it's a normal PC. In the head, you have an Atom processor, x86. It's communicating to the chest. There is an ARM7 inside. They're communicating through USB. And then we use serial protocols to talk to all the models and the cards in the robot. What did I say? Oh, we have two 8G cameras. So that's a fun story. When we started, we didn't really have a lot of customers, and we managed somehow to have now become the official robot for the RoboCup. So some people here might know about it, robots playing football. But the problem is, when you are a robot, in football you have to see two things. First is the goal, and then it's the ball. And if you... The first robots we were playing were doing like this all the time. So we had this idea, which is really ugly, but that works. It's not a mouth. It's another HD camera. So at the same time, you can see in front of you, and you can see your feet. That's for the story. And that's it. It's a product. We are trying to sell it, and we are trying to live with it. We have a different version of Now. This is the full one, but we also sell Now without legs, then without arms. And what are you doing? Because it's not the same price and you might not want to do the same things. We are also building a user community with the developer program. The goal is to have many people work on Now and develop cool apps. There is a kind of store, like for Android Market or the iOS store. That's something we've been developing for 1 year and a half, something. And we are also developing software to use now. It's not only pure library that you would use with Python and C++. There is a software called Choreograph, which is, well, we don't really see it, but it's behind. And actually, you can make the robot do a few things just with boxes. You put boxes on the screen, you link them, and the robot will do the things that, you know, in the order you have put the box and link them. So that's really interesting for people who don't really know how to program, but still want to use Now. Yeah. We also added the feature that you can write Python code inside those boxes for people who are a little bit more experienced. And you can also program the robot using Python and C++. And we have also some bindings with .NET and Java, because a lot of people are asking for them, even though it's not completely supported. We also have some MATLAB features. So let's talk about Linux, because that's why we're here. When they started the company, they had just a kernel that they would decompress and compile and just put in the robot. Well, it wasn't really a robot, it was just a card. And the question then was, what should we put inside, because we want it to be easy to use and develop on it. So the first guys, and I didn't find anybody in the company because they're all gone, it was a really long time ago, they were using Buildroot. We had this long struggle between embedded system and normal PC. Because you can see that now we have an Atom processor. So it's almost like any notebook, for instance, a netbook. And before that, we had a Geode processor. It was not really powerful, but still was kind of a PC. And the first guy didn't really know what to choose between the two. That's why we started with a solution like Buildroot, where you can redo atomic stuff and choose what you really want to do, you want to compile your stuff. But I guess some people here have used Buildroot, and it's a bit hardcore when you want to build a full system and re-maintain it. So they switched to Open Embedded. This was a bit better because you had really a package manager, you could do some more dynamic stuff on the fly. But we still didn't really like it because when you want to add a package, you have to write the recipe yourself. It's called a recipe. You say how you want to compile it, install it. And for some packages, it can be really hard, like GCC or Boost. It can take really a long time, and we were just wasting our days compiling and trying to fix compilation issue. But we were pleased with it because we had a lot of control on it. We were missing the ability to create toolchains because we are giving developers toolchains because you want to compile on your desktop machine using Windows, Linux, Mac OS, and you want to put the code in the robot. And at that time, they didn't really have a full support for toolchains. So we did ourselves, but still wasn't convenient. The funny thing is, when we arrived at Linux Tag, we saw that we were in the same booth as those guys, but they didn't come. So we didn't really have the time to discuss. Now we are running Gentoo, and we are really happy with it. Because basically, for people who have used Gentoo here, they know how easy it is when you have the stage tree, you just build the packages, you put everything inside, you populate the distribution. There is a good community, so you can easily get packages and quickly upstream versions. So that's also, we consider Debian at some point, but the problem with Debian is you have to wait a lot of time to get stable versions in the distribution. And we are trying to do upstream things. Or mainstream, at least. So we are running Gentoo, and we really like it. So we took this nice picture with now and the Gentoo thing. By the way, they are doing cool things with compile yourself your button. If you haven't tried it, maybe they're still there. But actually, if you think about what I said, we don't reuse Linux a lot. We are using the distribution. The kernel was not completely used for several reasons. The first one is that we haven't had really competent people working on Linux at the beginning, so they started to program things outside of the kernel, and then we switched to a model where you can just put all the software you are developing in Linux, but also in macOS, in Windows, like all the stuff for all the modules are. You can use all the modules in those three distributions. So we couldn't put everything in the kernel because you still want them to be portable. So right now we are not making a complete use of Linux as much as we want. Although we are planning to move some part of the hardware in the kernel using. So I had this discussion with Niels with the battery and stuff like that. Some people also. It was 4 years ago, tried to invade us and put Microsoft Windows CE in the distribution, but The funny thing is, we didn't really want to, but it wasn't working. So there was no problem debating with people who wanted to do that. Now, another big topic is open source. We are using a lot of open source software. So we're using Linux, and so Gentoo, and all the packages. We heavily support Qt Creator. That's our main IDE, and we are trying to push people to use it, even on Windows. So we are really using open source, and we are really glad about it. I'm a guy who's been working with open source software. I contributed to a few projects. But it wasn't really easy, actually, in the company, because some people think that when you are releasing your source, you are somehow losing something. You know, you are developing a feature and you give it to everybody. And when you are a company, especially a young company, you tend to be scared to what's going to happen tomorrow, and especially about competitors, because 7 years ago, we didn't know where we would be today. So now we are 150 people, but at that time, we were not a lot. There were huge companies who were interested in robotics, like Sony, so you know the AIBO. So our bosses were really concerned about this. And the first real discussion we had was when they discovered that our distribution is nicknamed OpenNow. They're like, yeah, what is open? So we had to explain. They were like, no, we don't want to do that. But things changed because we fought. We took some time to explain them what are the benefits, what really open source is, and what we could gain from it. And now it's better. A year ago, we announced that officially, so that was really an official release from everybody in the company, that we are sharing code. So we opened a GitHub where you can find a few projects. It's still not perfect. We have a lot more projects to release and to give to everybody. We also, some people had the question how to develop on Now, and we said, yeah, you have to join the developer program. It's not that hard, but still not really open because you have to go through the selection phase and then get only the tools. What we would like to do, I mean, that's my personal point of view, it's not the company, but we would really like people to be able to just download the SDK, write applications, and share them with everybody. But again, it's not really what everybody is thinking in the company, and we are still working on that to just open more and more things on the robot. I had also the question a few times, is Now an open hardware platform? The answer is no, because so far we don't really want people to deal with our hardware, because a robot is something that can be complicated and dangerous, and we want just to make sure that they are using it in the good way. So right now, the robot is not really open, and you cannot really access the models and everything. So we have this developer program, if you're interested in. So it's not for everybody, but we want to have, we don't sell the robots to everybody. We sell only to academies, some searchers around the world who want to experiment stuff. And we would like to have real users, like people who would develop applications and say, oh, this is not working. Oh, we would like to do that. So we created this developer program so that people from all around the world could join us and try to develop applications, give us some feedback, like, yeah, this is not working, or we would like you to add this feature or this hardware. So we created this to have some kind of beta testers. Right now, we are selling a robot €12,000 for academies. And in the developer program, it's only 3,000. So it's still a bit expensive for some of you, I guess, but we really try to put the price as low as possible. And still, we are a small company, and we are 160 people. We still need some money to go on. So if you're interested to join, there is not the address, but there is a website. If you go on Google, you can just check the developer program. And I hope that soon we will be able to release the SDK with all the software so that everybody can try to do something with a robot, even though they don't have it. That would be really interesting, because we had lots of interesting talks with people in the Linux stack, because they had really cool ideas of stuff we would be able to do if we just added this, or even without adding anything to the robot. That was really interesting, and we were really glad to be here in the open source area. And I guess that's it. So you want to see a video? Okay, I guess it's a yes. I don't know how it's going to work, though. Oh, but there is no sound. Yeah. So that's a workshop we had in Paris. So we invited a lot of developers, and we wanted to work with them for a weekend. So there were talks about how the robot works and what we want to do, what is the strategy of the company. And then they were given some time to develop their own applications. So this is Bruno Maisonnier. He's our CEO. And he's the guy with the cool dream who said, yeah, I want to have robots at home. And so far, so good. He managed to really be successful. And he's really pushing us in the right direction. So he was explaining why we are following the application model, like Android or iPhone. So we had 40 developers during 3 days. We had girls, too, who made cool stuff. So we have now playing, how do you call that? You know, the game where we need to have 4 pieces of the same color, like in diagonal or... So she's trying to play poker with now. She's the one who did the... So there were lots of applications, and you will soon see what the winners were. So the guy who made a translation, so just give him some text, and he's going to translate in any language. I don't know what this one was. So this is one guy who... So there is a USB plug behind the robot, and he just used the Kinect to control it. So this is now workout, which is really fun. So he's saying, yeah, now you have to do 5 push-ups, and I'm going to do it, so you will have to do it yourself. Hand over game, maybe some people here have tried. Play with the ball. So that was really interesting, and people were really happy with it. Yeah, so it was really interesting because when you are working on a robot, you feel like nothing is working. And you are scared at any presentation because, like, yeah, there is this bug or there could be this bug. And what we have actually a good feedback from people who are using it. So that's really good. And we are also pleased to see that when you see people at our booth looking at the robot and, you know, with the eyes full of stars, you're like, yeah, we are doing really a cool job and we are really proud to what we have achieved so far. But we still have a lot to do, and I hope that If you have any idea, or if you want to join us, we are very really open-minded, and we'd be very really pleased to work with creative people. So that was, I know, a short presentation. We didn't go into details, but if you have questions, just ask them, and I'd be glad to answer.
Okay, thank you for your presentation. It was really interesting.
Well. Thank you for inviting us.
You're welcome. So, any questions?
It's not really a question. I just wanted to thank you for providing an example to adding to my talk that I had before, for those who heard it, about the problems that you had with an embedded distribution and with cross-compiling, and that you finally settled on a large distribution. That was what I recommended too.
Sorry, I didn't
attend
it.
Thanks for supporting my talk.
You're welcome. Okay. So what was the main idea?
About mistakes that people can do about in embedded systems development.
Okay.
So, any questions? Here?
Yes. Doesn't have to be technical.
Well, I guess you won't have an answer for my question. I've got a robot at home, and this robot has a killer application. It cleans my kitchen. It's a vacuum cleaner. So what do you think is the killer application for now, or what could it be?
I would say it's follow me, because you can use it with everybody and they would like, I want now. So if you have an application which will make people want to buy it, that's the killer app.
Okay. Because, well, I would like to buy it for, say, 200 or 300 euros.
yeah, me too.
of course, I see that it's not possible because it's a really cool piece of technique. But I really look forward to the time when you tell me, well, there's this application and you really want to have it, and that's the reason why you buy it.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. Any more questions yet?
Do you think you can scale up the size of the robot a little bit? A killer application for in my vision would be a robot which is strong enough to support handicapped people, and there are sometimes only very very simple motions necessary, but it has to have certain strengths. Carrying people a little bit or helping them getting up, and this is very expensive now if you have humans supporting them. So this would definitely be the killer application in a social system.
So that's really a good remark. When you are building a robot like this, you almost have no problem because it's a small one. So even though I put my hand here and he just it pitches me, it's not going to be a real problem. But if you have a robot which is strong enough, it can kill you. So building a robot which is this size is really not the same problem. We started with something like this because it's small, it's easier to make. Even though, trust me, when you see robots which are rolling, it's really the easy solution. When you want it to walk with feet, it's really hard. But building a larger version of now is really something different from what we have achieved so far. We are working on a European project, which is called Romeo, and the purpose is to make a robot which is 1.50 meters high. And we have these kind of problems. So it's more difficult to make because you need bigger models, so it takes more power, but also you have to be careful with what users could experience with the robot.
Okay, any more questions? Yes.
Could you show the programming system with the boxes?
Not on this computer. But if you want, I will show it to you after the talk.
Okay, more questions? So, no more questions?
What's the average battery life?
So, depending on what you're doing with it, it could be between 90 minutes and 20 minutes. Because have you seen the dance? No? He can dance. We make lots of cool dances around the world because people want to have them at their opening, such as Linux Tag. So he's moving, the eyes are blinking, there is a noise and everything. In this kind of mode, would last maybe 25 minutes because it takes a lot of power. And we haven't really developed the power problem so far. No, the battery is actually in the back. Here.
Okay, one more question.
Can you make him dance now?
Yeah, we could. I'm going to do a little demo. I don't think you will need it.
What do you want me to do? The Three Musketeers story.
One second.
I'd like to start stand up.
Caravan Palace.
Caravan Palace.
So he's gonna load it. that's now dancing. So let me show something else. So we had this problem of robots falling. So he said, ouch, which is a good thing because he detected the fall. And in a few seconds, he's going to get up. Might take some time sometimes. Come on.
I think he has a blackout.
No, the lights are still on. So he's able to get up. Ta-da!
Wow. So, very great.
If you want to see more things about Nao, just go to YouTube. There you have lots of crazy people who are doing interesting stuff and fun stuff. Especially the Kinect video is one of my favorites. You can see a guy put a knife in Nao's hand, and he's cutting a banana with it using Kinect. That's very cool. Anyhow, thank you.
Thank you very much for being here.